The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. We're so glad to see every one of you as we prepare for Thanksgiving on this Christ the King Sunday. Glad you are here. Invite everyone to sign the Friendship Register, the booklet you should find on the inside aisle of your pew. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you are here. Invite you to give us your name and address so we can give you another word of welcome to our church. We're glad to see everyone today. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin. The insert is about the poinsettias for our poinsettia tree that will be up during Advent. The deadline is next Sunday, so you do have one more Sunday, but you can go ahead and take care of that today. Notice in your bulletin there's an announcement about a five-year estimate of giving card for our Community Life Center. These cards are available in the narthex. If you have not filled one out yet, you can pick yours up today, and we'd love for you to get that in this week. Notice that also in the narthex, there's the Salvation Army Angel Tree. And let me say that last week, Lois Priest announced about the Angel Tree and about what we're giving to Ralph Scott Life Services, and you are such a wonderful congregation. You responded so well, and I really appreciate that. All but two of the angels were taken last week, so now the tree is full again. For those of you who did not get an opportunity last week, please go by and look at the angels on the tree and pick one or more off, and then fill out the form that write down that your name, that what you've taken, and then bring those items back to the fellowship hall by December the 9th. Notice also the Christmas blessing bags for the 140 residents of Ralph Scott Life Services. You can see on the bulletin boards the list of things that we need, so you can bring those to the church by December the 12th. Now, those of you who signed up for the youth fundraiser, the Mrs. Pumpkin's chicken pies and spaghetti and brownies and all that, that will be delivered tomorrow, and so then Julie will need some time to separate everything. So those things will be ready for you to pick up the church office. Come by the church office Tuesday morning between 9 and 12. Now, if that doesn't work for your schedule, that's fine. They'll be in the freezer. You can talk with Julie about either some other time if you want to get them, or she can arrange to get them to you. But that's the time that we're going to try to get most people to come by, Tuesday morning from 9 to 12. If you have any questions about that, just talk with Julie Parrish. Notice on the back of your bulletin the kind of a calendar for upcoming events during Advent. Make sure you know which Sundays and dates things are happening, and make sure, I hope you can be here for all of those. Look with me now at our prayer concerns. Before I mention that, let me say that the choirs, children and adults, will be processing in just a moment with food offerings, and some of you have already placed your food offering up here. If you didn't get a chance to before the service, the baskets will be up here. This is for the Salvation Army food pantry. You can bring those after the service. All right, prayer concerns. Want to let you know that Bama King is not here today. She sent me a message yesterday. Her best friend's mother passed away on Friday night, so she's gone to be with her friend and their family, so be in prayer for that family. And also, just found out this morning from Elizabeth Thomas that her sister-in-law, Kathleen Norden, you might remember that she had back surgery before, and we prayed for her. Well, she's having to have back surgery again tomorrow. So be in prayer for Kathleen Norden. That's Elizabeth's sister-in-law. Okay, I've got some praises, but anybody else have any prayer concerns you want to add? Okay, then I've got some praises, some really important praises to share with you. Some are from the prayer list. First of all, I want to praise God that Deborah Webb is with us this morning, and she's happy too. Now, that does not mean that we stop praying for Deborah. She still has her pain, but we're so glad that you can be with us, Deborah. And then I have a praise for, you'll see on your prayer list, Billy Hare. And Billy's with us this morning. Billy had a scan and went back Tuesday and found out that she is cancer-free. So let's celebrate. She still has chemo treatments, though, through the end of December, so keep praying for her, but we're so thankful for that. And then we've been praying for John and Connie Alfano's son, Darren, who was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome, and he was in the hospital and rehab. Well, heard from Connie just this past week, he was able to walk up 12 steps. Now, I know you might think, well, you know, we can all do it. That is just huge. I mean, it was huge when he could begin feeding himself, you know. So he has just made great progress. Still needs our prayers, but he's going to be discharged on Wednesday to go home for Thanksgiving. So we're so thankful for that. And then I've got another praise. Heard from Mickey McClure, who is a proud grandmother all over again, that yesterday Tallulah Graham Nettles was born to Aaron and Wilden. A little over 7 pounds. Continue to pray for Erin as she recovers, but they're all doing well. And Tucker, big brother Tucker, is with us this morning. And Tucker, what's your sister's name? Yeah, he told me this morning, Tallulah. So we are so thankful for that and give thanks to God for Tallulah. All right. Well, so glad you are here today. Let us prepare our hearts to worship now as we hear the handbell choir play and point our hearts toward the Lord. Thank you. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together for the call to worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Do not forget all God's benefits and blessings. He forgives all our sins. He heals our diseases. He ransoms us from death. He surrounds us with love and tender mercies. He fills our lives with good things. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let us pray. O Lord, on this day we give you our thanks. Truly, you are the God who has blessed us in so many ways, Lord. So we pray that you would bless us even now as we seek to worship you from our hearts. Indeed, that together we would bless your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Let us join together in prayer now, confessing our sins before the Lord, being honest before the Lord and before each other. Let us pray. God of all grace, you have poured out your wonderful gifts upon us, seemingly without measure. But instead of thanking you for your abundant love, we have turned toward making lists of all the things we don't have, in all the ways in which we wished our lives were different. Today, turn us toward you and toward your faithfulness and remind us of all the many reasons we should truly be your thankful people. We pray in the name of Jesus, who, though he was rich, became poor, that we, through his poverty, might experience the greatest riches of all. Amen. I don't know if you happen to remember, just a few minutes ago, we joined in the call to worship from Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name." And then the author begins to list God's benefits and blessings. You notice the first thing listed in the bulletin? He forgives all our sins. What a great blessing that God treats us with mercy and love and compassion and forgives our sins through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. We have a wonderful treat today. Our children are going to be singing and ringing for us, so I'm going to invite them to come forward. As they're coming, why don't you take a moment and greet those close by you today? Y'all did a great job. Okay, you want to put your bells down and trade it for a cup? Any other children want to come forward and help? We're going to collect the pennies for hunger off. Whoa, watch out. Rosalie, you want a cup? There you go. Look. Look, she's got money. There you go. Why don't you just walk right down there. There you go. Be easier. All right. Head on back. Get your cup. Y'all have a seat. Carter. Okay, y'all did a great job singing and ringing, and you did a great job. You just about filled this up today, so that is great. It's great for us to share, not just keep it for ourselves. So let's have a prayer now. Thank the Lord. Dear God, thank you for what you've given us, and thank you that we can share with others. Help us to remember that you loved us, and we need to love others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks so much for doing a great job. Now you can head out to Children's Church. I am at a tough place in my life right now. I have tried to live my life for Christ. I have tried to care for all people and share the gospel, especially the people who have not known God's care in their life. But it seems the more I try to do, the more I get kicked in the teeth. I have lived in danger. I've been on the move. I've been beaten, shipwrecked, and stoned. I've gone without sleep, food, and clothes. I have lived out in the cold on my own. And on top of that, I have the great daily burden of caring for God's people, all the pressure of caring for people weighing on my shoulders. And now I find myself in prison, not knowing if I will get out, not knowing if I will be put to death. And yet I still write to churches and still have much for which to thank God. That was the Apostle Paul, by the way, in case you didn't catch on to that. So look with me at Philippians chapter 1, where we'll read what Paul wrote, beginning with verse 3. Philippians 1:3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, Thanksgiving is just one of my favorite times of the year. I love the time of year, love the weather, the beautiful leaves, the football, and yes, the food. Wonderful time of year. But you notice when Paul wrote all the things that I just said that make me enjoy Thanksgiving, he didn't write about any of that. I want you to look with him this morning at these few simple verses. And I want to identify for you four things that Paul mentions that I think will help you have the best Thanksgiving ever. The first one is remembering. He says in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, think about the godliest Christians you have ever known. Remember them and give thanks to God for them. What kind of people were they? If you think of the people that are most memorable to you, that you most want to emulate, I'll bet that every one of them was a thankful person themselves. People who are always grumbling and complaining are not the people that we want to be around and not the people we want to be like. It's the thankful people. Paul was one of those thankful people. He was in prison when he wrote this letter. He could have spent the entire letter listing all the reasons that he had to be dismal and depressed, but instead he started on a positive note, and it started with remembering all the saints that he knew in Philippi. Where would I be in my life without all the people who have loved me and encouraged me? So I want you to join me right now in a little exercise. I want you to think about your own life. Think of one person, maybe one person outside of your family, one person you're not related to, that you really want to thank God for today because they really are a meaningful person in your life. Maybe it might be somebody right now, or it may be somebody way from the past. You think of somebody? In preparing for the sermon, I thought of one person, somebody you don't know because she's from my distant past. I thank God for Judy Hamrick. She was the first person ever to get me to sing a solo in front of a group of people. I was, I don't know, first grade or so, and she got me to sing, and where I lived and the tradition we had, we would sing at the mall, the local mall. Remember when they had malls? We would sing at the local mall, and so there were hundreds of people there. It was pretty scary for a little kid. And the first song I ever sang was, you ready? I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas. You remember that song? Sometimes it's about true, you know, but she encouraged me, and, you know, she laid the groundwork for a lot of things that happened later in my life, so I'm thankful for her. Think about somebody you can remember today and be thankful for. Secondly, prayer. He said, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray. The second thing that must accompany us if we're going to be thankful people is prayer. You see, we live our lives on a horizontal level based on what we can see with our eyes, but prayer brings in a new dimension. It brings in the vertical level, us and God, what we can't see with our eyes. And it reminds us that what we can't see is really more important and longer lasting than what we can see. Prayer is also important because it teaches us to be thankful. If you're in conflict with someone, pray for them, thank God for them, and see how your attitude changes. Paul wrote, I always pray. That makes me think of people that teach me about prayer. And one of those is my mom. My mom is a praying person. Let me give you an example. She didn't know I was going to say this. I didn't get her permission, but she's my mom. It's okay. Back in August, she played the piano for Prelude, for our worship, and she'd picked out two songs. Well, we put two songs in the bulletin that she was going to play. Well, she played the first one, And she stopped, she finished, and you politely applauded. And then she sat there and paused a few minutes. She's a little on the slow side anyway for everything, so I didn't think that much about that. But then she started to play some chords for the second song, and I recognized that is not that song. But she just kept playing some chords, and she told me later what happened was she didn't have a bulletin where she couldn't see it anyway. Her eyesight is so bad. But she forgot what the second song was supposed to be. Okay? Can you relate to that? Do you ever forget anything? Well, she forgot what that second song was. So you know what she did? She prayed. She said, God, you know that I'm trying to do this for you, so please help me remember what the song was. And so she just started playing some chords, and then the Lord answered her prayer and reminded her of what the song was, and so she played it. Now, that's a very simple thing, but it just reminds us. Paul said, I always pray. We need to always pray about everything. Thirdly, joy. He said, I pray always with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This is something that accompanies the attitude of thanksgiving, joy. I have never met a thankful person who was also not a joyful person. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who smiles all the time or can tell good jokes and always laughing. No, I'm talking about a person who, no matter what life throws their way, they hang on to their joy in Christ. And let me tell you, you know, life can throw some pretty bad things at you. But you can still, in the midst of that, still have your joy in Christ. I can have joy today because Christ is in my heart. Christ loves me. God's promises will never fail me. Christ strengthens me. And even when death comes, Christ will come to take me home to be with him forever. So see, nothing can erase that joy. And notice that Paul's joy is there because these people have partnered with him in the gospel. Now, when I read that word partnership, I immediately thought of Keith and Karen Dodson, because they had been working for a number of years and with what they call partnership development, developing partners in the gospel. Well, Paul did that a long time ago, and it's great that they are still doing that, and that brings joy. And then fourth, he says this. Fourth is confidence. He says, being confident, being fully assured of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, I love that verse, one of my favorite verses, because it gives me the kind of confidence I need to be thankful to God. Sometimes I am concerned about myself, my own standing before God, my lack of spiritual growth. But I do know that God has done something in my heart. God has begun a good work in me. And this verse teaches me that if God has begun a good work, he will carry it on to completion. Now, I love that phrase. Paul, of course, was not thinking about this, but this time of year it makes me think about football. You know, you do not score a touchdown unless you carry the ball all the way across the goal line, unless it breaks the plane of the goal line. You can have a really long run and look great, but have you seen it where that somebody will either intercept or catch a ball and they'll be running, they're so happy, and then they fumble it right before the goal line? Well, that's not a touchdown. It's not carrying it on to completion. But we are confident that God will take that good work that he started in our hearts and carry it all the way to the end, carry it to completion, the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to finish with following on this theme of thanksgiving. Barry Black is the chaplain of the U.S. Senate, and he put together something about thanksgiving. I took it and tweaked it a little bit, but it's called I Am Thanksgiving. I am Thanksgiving. I am more than annual or seasonal. My official day is the fourth Thursday in November. My beauty is paralleled in the red, orange, brown, and golden leaves of autumn. My delightful expression is symbolized in the delicious aroma of turkey and its trimmings. I am Thanksgiving. I am rich in American tradition. I find my beginning in the hearts of tired and tried pilgrims who risked their lives to sail the ocean, who lost their family in England and other places in Europe, in most cases forever, who lost some of their loved ones in that first year in the New World and learned some very hard but necessary lessons, and in turn gained and gave much more than they left or lost. I am Thanksgiving. I am to be enjoyed, not just endured. I am hindered by greed, pride, bitterness, and by a critical spirit. I am unlimited by feelings, unhindered by circumstances, unbound by time. Yet I am most understood when I am practiced and experienced. I cannot be hidden. I should not be silenced. I am Thanksgiving. Only the true and living God is always deserving of thanks. I am actively evident in the life of an obedient Christian. I am aware of the presence and power of God's providential hand in history, in heaven, on the earth, among the nations, in the church, and today in your life and mine. I am Thanksgiving. I am expressed by love for the Lord and my neighbor. I am accompanied by joy unspeakable and full of glory. I am followed by the peace that passes all understanding. I am the endurance that enables long-suffering toward difficult people. I am the restraint of gentleness when faced with hatred. I am to be experienced by faith, especially when I do not feel thankful. I am Thanksgiving. The more I am expressed, the more reasons are to be found to be thankful. The more I am ignored or refused by someone, the less they will realize what they really have. I can be expressed whether one has much or little in life. When I am expressed, one can then see that they have more than most people. Usually all they really need, and actually much more than one deserves. I am Thanksgiving. I should be expressed by the way you work. I should be expressed by the way you love. And I should be expressed because of the people in your life. You should be thankful for those whom you love. You should be even more thankful for those who love you. You should even be thankful for your enemies, for they are an opportunity to love when love is not returned. I am Thanksgiving. I am to be expressed at all times and in all circumstances. I am a sweet reminder to the Christian that even sorrow, pain, suffering, and disappointment can be accompanied by joy, relief, learning, and reward. Christ is in me and I am in him, that I can never sin beyond his precious blood, his perfect love, or his powerful grace. That obedience to God and his word is a little bit of heaven on this earth. That the message of the gospel is a sacred trust to be given away, not a secret to be kept. I am Thanksgiving. Do not limit me to one day of your life and thus diminish the very purpose of your existence. Remember me all the time. Remember why I came, how I came about, from whom I flow, and to whom I must be expressed. Yes, today, this week, and every blessed day of the year for which God gives you breath and life, I am Thanksgiving. Let us pray. Oh Lord, when we stop and consider what you have done for us, what you have done for us as a nation, what you've done for us as a church, what you've done for us in our families, what you've done for each of us as individuals, we give you thanks. Lord, we pray that you would fill our hearts with joy, not because our circumstances might be that great, but because Christ is in us, the very hope hope of glory. And so for that, we give you thanks this day. Lord, we thank you for every person that we mentioned who's recently experienced a blessing in their life, even as we pray for those who are still struggling and maybe don't feel a lot of joy or thankfulness right now. We pray that you would be with each of them and provide hope and healing. Use us as your people to be a channel of hope and thanksgiving to them. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." If you didn't feel thankful before, don't you feel thankful now after hearing that? Isn't that wonderful? We have so much to give thanks to God for, and let us give thanks even as we present gifts to God's glory. Lord our God, on this day we join our voices with all of those in this room, and indeed with all those who have gone before us, giving you all glory, honor, and praise, the praise that you deserve for being the kind of God who gives us so many blessings. So thank you from our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. You want to have the best Thanksgiving ever, remember what Paul told us. Remember those in your life who have blessed you. Pray always, all the time about everything. Be joyful in your hearts in spite of what your circumstances might be, because Christ is in your heart. And then be confident, be sure that God is working in your heart and will bring it to completion. Remember, I asked you in the sermon to think about someone. I'm going to ask you again, in case you didn't do that. Think about someone right now in your life, in your lifetime, who has blessed you. And give thanks to God for them right now, in your heart. You know what that exercise does? It just, for a moment, it takes your mind off your own troubles and makes you think about someone else who has blessed you in your life, and you bless them back. God has blessed you. Now, as you go from this place, give thanks to God from your hearts for all the people in your life who have been blessings, but most of all for the ultimate blesser, God Himself, who has freely given you so many blessings. So give thanks to the Lord above always. Amen.